Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by Inside Baseball. Episode 200, Behind the Scenes at React Native Radio.
Hey, React Native Radio friends, welcome back. This is the React Native Radio Podcast, and I'm your host, Jamin Holmgren. I'm joined today by my illustrious co-host, Robin. Robin, how are you doing this morning?
Wow, illustrious. That's a good one.
I don't know why it came to mind, to be honest.
No idea. Just out of thin air. I'm doing great. It's a little bit cloudy here, but...
It is. Yeah, it's cloudy here, too. I doubt that we have different weather very often because we're, what, 20 miles apart, something like that?
Yeah, we pretty much have the same weather.
Yeah, northern tip of the Willamette Valley, basically, is where we both live, although I'm in Washington State and you're in Oregon.
Far superior Oregon State.
Wow, I didn't realize this was a competition, but...
Everything is a competition.
Everything is, okay. We're not alone in this call, though.
No, we're not.
We are, we're used to doing things, us too, but today we have a really cool topic, which we're going to be getting into, and that necessitates a lot bigger team than you normally see on the podcast. So today we have with us Missy Warren, Todd Wirth, Jed Bartoski, and Justin Husky, and I'm going to let each of you introduce yourselves. And maybe the title of what you do on the podcast, because we're going to be talking way more in depth about it. So, Missy, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jamin, I'm doing well. I'm in sunny Los Angeles, California. I think that spring is in full effect, and I have spring allergies, which is why I have a different voice today.
I've worked with you for, what, a year and a half or something? No, 2 years? I don't know.
Yeah, a little over 2 years now.
2 years, yeah, thanks. And I don't think I've ever heard you sound like that, except for the morning we're going to do this podcast. So great timing.
Yeah. It's Murphy's Law.
This is not what I sound like on the regular, but I guess everyone will think that it is.
Maybe it's a good thing. Yeah. Maybe it's a good thing. It's like Phoebe from Friends. She had her sick voice and she sounded way better than her non-sick voice.
Yeah, I kind of like it better. So if it stays like this, then that's fine by me. But yeah, for the podcast, I am the social media coordinator. So what you see on Twitter is usually from me.
You and I also work together pretty much every day. You're the sales and marketing coordinator. And since I'm kind of the guy who does a lot of the sales at Infinite Red, we work together on, you know, if someone's reaching out, you're going to be talking to the two of us. So welcome aboard, Missy. Looking forward to having you on this episode.
I'm excited to be here.
Also with us today is Jed Bartoski, also known as Jed Bartowski or Jed Bartolowski, depending on how I mangle his name. Jed, can you say your name for the record so that everybody knows how I'm supposed to be pronouncing it?
Yes. Thank you, Jamin. So just to set the record straight, it's pronounced Jed Bartoski.
I don't know. I was watching the TV show Chuck, I think, at the time when I first met you, which was a while ago because Chuck's an older TV show now, and his name was Chuck Bartowski. And so I just totally connected the two in my mind. I'm like, "Hey, Jed, yeah, you're like Chuck's cousin, right?" And you just kind of went with the joke. And then I just called you Bartowski for like the next 10 years.
Well, and a funny thing too is you'd be surprised at how many people actually question my first name, like that was my given name. I remember distinctly there was one time I was at Starbucks ordering coffee and the barista had asked for my name and I said, Jed. And she's like, "Is that your real name?" I was like, "Yeah, Jed, J-E-D. She's like, "Are you sure?" Like she figured that I must have somehow forgotten it.
Are you sure?
I'm like, I wasn't prepared with the documentation required to convince you order apparently. So you're just going to have to take my word for it. But yes, it's Jed. So
you know what? I think we need to introduce ourselves as well with what we tell the barista for for our name. I never say Jamin. I always just say Jay. because, you know, they kind of usually get that right. So, Jed, do you use Jed or do you give some other name just to mix it up?
So I've used Jed, but I mean, I like the idea of just using Jay. I may need to try that in the future.
It works. Yeah. Until we all do it. And then there's, you know, 15 Jays called out.
So just a little bit about myself. I live here in Eastern Washington in the Tri-Cities area. Our regional flower is, of course, the tumbleweed, so keeps things interesting. As far as the React Native Radio podcast goes, I am the transcript and release coordinator for the majority of what I do. And then alongside with that, I'm also working with Todd. He's training me up on the editing side of things. So that's been something we've been doing recently that's been really exciting.
We're not supposed to put what we're doing in the podcast, right?
No.
Okay.
Not
just
really.
The title.
Just the title.
Jed.
You want me to redo that?
No, he just did the title.
Sort of.
I also threw the editing bit in there, too.
Which it's is okay. Also a title, right?
I don't know editor? What to do.
Assistant to the editor. I should
put that in there. Assistant to the editor. I love it.
All right, very cool. And also with us today is a man you actually do hear every episode, but you may not know who it is. Todd Wirth, my co-founder and CEO of Infinite Red. Todd, welcome aboard.
Hey, Jamin. Thanks for having me. It's actually fun to be on the podcast. My name's Todd, and I'm CEO of Infinite Red. And although I don't code these days, I am a software engineer. I just focus on my CEO duties as of late, which really just napping and taking credit for everyone else's work.
And Facebook. Don't forget browsing Facebook.
I stopped back browsing Facebook after the last election. You can understand why.
Yeah, it just became too much, to be honest. The napping and the taking credit for others' work was just enough.
It's a full-time job.
It is, really.
It is for a CEO,
It's true. Well, you do a great job of it, and I'm really happy to have you on the podcast. Todd and I have been business partners for 6 years now and counting. Also with us today is our design lead at Infinite Red, Justin Husky. Justin, you live not very far from me. We've worked together for, dating back to my previous company, actually.
Yeah, about 7 years now. So, hey, everybody, I'm Justin. That's actually my real name. That's not just a pseudonym I use at Starbucks like Jed. And
another J.
Another J. I am the design lead here at Infinite Red. I help clients with their products and doing the whole design phase, going from idea to actual visuals and all of that kind of stuff to get it ready for development. And then more recently, I've been focusing more on Infinite Red and how it relates to developers and the kind of brand experience and also just kind of the design experience that everybody interacts with our brand with. So that could be at Chain React, could be through this podcast and many different avenues.
Yeah, very awesome to have you on the podcast and all of you for joining us today. Before we get started, I want to mention that this episode is sponsored by the company that we all work at, Infinite Red.
Not this again.
But we are sponsored by Infinite Red. We are a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the USA. We're the best choice for your next React Native app. Hit us up. hello@infinite.red. You can email me directly, jamin@infinite.red. You can go to infinite.red/react-native. And if you want advice on napping, you can email Todd@infinite.red. He's more than happy to give you advice on that. Don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. We love hearing that. All right, let's get into the topic for today. Why we have everybody here, too. The topic is behind the scenes at React Native Radio. And I wanted to do this episode because while Robin and I, and when they get a chance, Aditi and Harris are kind of the, you know, quote unquote, on-air talent, the people that you hear, there's a lot more that goes into this podcast than just us getting behind a mic and recording and uploading it. There's a lot more that goes on. In fact, our job is probably the easiest part of the whole process. So now you get to meet the people who make all of this happen. We're going to talk about what happens to get an episode from our mouths into your earbuds. Is that kind of... That was a little creepy, wasn't it? we'll just roll with it.
I'm still visualizing. So, give me a second.
The visual's already there. I'm trying to get rid of it currently. Yeah.
This is, we'll move on. If you've ever been involved in podcasting, you're probably familiar with some of this stuff, but there's different kind of levels of podcasting. There's just kind of record it and upload it. You can certainly do that. But we've taken it to another level, and maybe even people who are involved in podcasting might learn some things. So we'll approach this kind of going through an episode from the beginning and, you know, start to finish. So let's start off with topic selection. Robin and I and the other hosts have a Slack channel where we kick around topics. We'll just kind of brainstorm what ideas we might want to talk about or what might be interesting or what is even like topical at the time. We put them into a Google Drive spreadsheet. We have columns that have, you know, topic, guest, episode number, recording date, and release date. So it's a schedule and kind of gives us a good idea of what's coming up, what guests there are, when we're going to be recording, and when we intend to release it as well. These are pretty fluid. Like, we do move them around a lot, other than when we have like a guest schedule, right, Robin?
Yeah. A lot of the topics we pick are pretty evergreen. They don't necessarily correspond to a particular date and time. So we'll move them around as needed. If someone has some recent experience with a particular topic and they can't make that particular day, we'll move it around. I think one time we actually changed the topic the morning of recording. So yeah, I'd say it's pretty fluid.
And this episode's not going to be so much about Robin and me, but we do have different ways that we prepare, the two of us. Robin tends to be a little better about preparing. I'm a little more seat of the pants, unfortunately. So, but we've managed to make it work so far. And we also have to schedule guests. So, you know, we've had some guests on and we do like doing guests, from time to time, but we have to schedule those to make sure that they're available at the right time. And it can be interesting because sometimes we'll have, in a recent episode, for example, we had someone from India and they have a very different time zone requirement here. You know, it might be really late at night for them, for example. So that can be a little challenging, but we try to record Thursdays at 9 a.m. Before that, though, the Monday before, we do some prep. And so it's like a 30-minute prep period. We get together, we have a Google Doc, we have notes, we copy and, you know, like we have a template and we copy and paste that. We do some back and forth on what we might want to cover. We're in a Zoom call. We put in some links. We try to, in fact, we did that with this crew this Monday as well, and just talked about what we might want to accomplish with the episode. The more I've found, the more that we prep, the better the episode goes, because we kind of know what to expect. But it's always a little bit of a rolling the dice.
And we sort of change things as we record too. Sometimes, like, you'll prep one way and then you kind of maybe paraphrase or adapt or change things as it makes sense while you're in the conversation.
Yeah, it's always kind of a fluid thing. So we record Thursdays generally at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We use QuickTime to record our audio. Robin, I think you use Audacity though, right? You had some problems with
QuickTime. I use Audacity and QuickTime because I got burned one time by my audio not saving. So I have all the backups.
We also record in Zoom. So Zoom has the ability to record in separate channels. So that's kind of even an additional backup. It's not as good of a recording because it's online, but it's better than nothing for sure. And what's funny is we recorded our intro for this one and then found out that both Todd and I had some massive problem with QuickTime that was like, we played it back and it was like screechy. So we had to redo the whole thing. That happens from time to time.
Our redundancies have redundancies, but there is a method to the madness.
Exactly. You can tell we're in software because we don't trust anything. We also have some fairly good equipment, and Todd's going to be talking more about kind of how we set all that up. But we try to have high quality equipment. Todd, as a little aside here, can you talk a little bit about how you select the hardware part of our recording equipment?
Sure. Yeah. So our company started out fully remote, and our intention is to be fully remote for the rest of the existence of the company. So we actually do get good audio equipment just for our normal work, for Zoom calls.
So it's not just for recording.
Right. Zoom calls, doing recording screencasts, that kind of stuff. So a lot of us already had good audio equipment. It's something I'm interested in on a hobby level. Obviously, it's not my job. But we also have two audio engineers here, Derek Greenberg and Darren Wilson. We have lots of resources. But basically, just pick equipment that fit a particular price point. Because in a lot of things, price doesn't matter. You're paying for branding. And audio equipment, pretty much price dictates quality. The higher, more expensive it is, the higher the quality. So we pick a budget, about $350 for all the auto equipment, say Robin has, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people, because I enjoy audio, I have a little more expensive equipment, but that's not necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have the best mic of the bunch of us, which is something just kind of reflects your hobbies and what you like to do. Mm-hmm. But I think all of our equipment is good. Even like Missy's, for example, she's not necessarily set up for podcasting every day, but you got a mic this week, right, Missy?
Yeah, I did. And I really like it. So maybe I'll get more into it. It's kind of nice. I'll probably use it on some of our sales calls going forward.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I like sounding good in you know, Zoom calls because we do them all the time.
Not to go off topic, but I'm always super impressed with our team in Zoom because not only do we have good audio, we have good video. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, especially in the pandemic world, it really sets you apart. I notice more people are trying to improve that now that they live in Zoom.
And it's not just, yeah, like you said, it's not just the microphones, but it's also having good headphones mm-hmm. is good. Quiet space is really important. I think Robin banishes her husband and daughter from the house when we record.
when I can, yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
You know, it's great. I think it's not only, and we'll be talking about this later too, but it's not just for the quality of the sound, but it's also for how easy it is to edit too. Mm-hmm. And it makes it easier to edit this. Now we're at the part where we record. So some of the things we try to do, we try to make sure that we give some space around things to make it easier to edit. For example, there might be you might be thinking of something and you can give a little space there. Maybe we could leave that in, for example, in editing. You would cut that out normally and I would sound more natural. It would come off more naturally. But what we do is not in the recording is not necessarily what ends up in the final product. But we do that on purpose because we want to make it easier for the editors. So during recording, we have specific things that we remind ourselves about before we start the podcast. We also try to avoid this is a very tough one for me. I've been working on it. I've gotten a little bit better, but I'm still pretty bad at it. It's something you really have to work to train yourself out of. We've recorded on QuickTime. We then stop the recording. We have our backup in Zoom. And then we send all of these files over to Todd. We have a channel in Slack and we just upload the files into a thread there. And then that moves from the recording part to the editing process. So this is where I queue up Todd. Todd, go ahead and walk me through a typical editing session when you receive the files.
Okay. So yeah, I do the editing, although I've been training Jed and he's been learning that and helping as well. And we worked on the last episode with Sanket together. So as far as what we do editing, well, there's three parts. First, we get all the audio files and we fix the audio. I wouldn't call this mm-hmm. editing, but we have good software and we spend a decent amount of time fixing everyone's files.
What software do you use?
Isotope RX8 is what we use for the audio process, like the initial processing.
And we also use Adobe Audition a little bit, but mostly Isotope.
Okay.
And what do you mean by fixing?
What I mean by fixing is, so Jamin and Robin's, our audio is pretty good because we have them set up correctly and we have some training on how to do it. But especially for guests, could be good. It could be horrible. It depends. So the typical things we remove is noise, background noise, reverb, or echo. We remove mouth clicks, which are really annoying to listen to, and everyone does it. We remove plosives or sounds, P sounds. We do all that. Then we normalize the volume and we compress the audio a little bit so that there's less range in the volume. The hosts are not professional hosts, so they don't come out of the can like you would hear, say, someone on NPR or some sort of kind of professional broadcast. So we do all this stuff and get it all nice and clean and get everyone's equal to each other.
I've watched you do some of it. I haven't sat through a whole record or editing session, but there's a lot happening as you're going through and correcting the audio like that. But you'll cut things out. You'll rearrange things as well, right?
So that's the first step. That's getting the audio in good quality. Now, if we were sitting in a studio in person, we would get good quality from the start. But since we don't have that luxury, we have to do that. So the next step is the first step could take about an hour if there's a lot of guests, but it could be quick also. If it's just Robin and Jamin, it's actually fairly quick. The next part's the hard part, which is the actual editing. So we have all this clean audio as if we were sitting in a studio, which we're not. And then we have to edit the podcast. And that's just going through it second by second, cutting out filler words, cutting out, you know, someone coughs or clanks their mug on the desk while they're talking. Jamin, you did that this episode. Yeah, he did. I noticed.
Called out.
Jeez. Wow.
As the editor, I'm really trying not to just sit here and watch you all and notice everything you do wrong. But like clinking.
I'm really nervous. I'm just going to sit here. Very
well, when you're not talking, it doesn't matter. Like you can be playing the violin and that's fine because we just cut that out when you're not talking. You're not there. But when you're talking, anything in the background, especially like that, we can't. If Jed and I had massive amount of time, we could actually remove that clink from behind your voice and have it be natural. Obviously, we don't have the time to do that kind of detailed stuff, but it is possible.
We trust that our listeners come to us for the content and not necessarily the audio quality.
That being said, that is true, but we actually take the quality super seriously. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things I love about Infinite Red is the entire team takes everything very... We're not a serious company. We have tons of fun and...
Yeah.
You know, half the things out of my mouth are jokes, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective. For me, it's fortunately. For everyone else, it's unfortunately. But when it comes to our work, we are serious about it while we're having fun. And we try to produce quality. Do we need to make this podcast high quality? Probably not. Are we going to make it low quality? Absolutely not. After you kind of get editing out the imperfections, then you get into content editing. And I will shorten things for clarity. I will, if everyone's talking over each other, I will highlight one person more and maybe remove the other people or lower their volume or something so that you can just hear the person who's the primary person talking. Sometimes I'll remove things that are wrong. I won't pick on anyone here, but let's pick on Harris because he's not here. This is not true. I'm just picking on him because why not? If someone says something that's technically wrong and I know it's technically wrong, I'll remove it. Because it's just wrong, you know? You know, something like, you know, JavaScript was invented in 1978 or something. And in addition to that, shorten for clarity, brevity. Sometimes people go off on a tangent and it's great. And sometimes it's not very interesting to the listeners. So we'll remove that. Is there anything else I'm missing on the editing part, Jed?
Not anything that I can think of. Those are the big things. Of course, there's a lot of cutting up that has to happen so we can have that flexibility to remove what we need to remove.
Yeah.
Todd mentioned it earlier, but it's one of those things like I've only paired up with Todd a couple times on editing a full episode. Even just doing that, it's really fun, like being in the podcast like right now, and I can already picture in my mind like, okay, here's what we're like, we're probably going to move this around, or we're probably going to be cutting this down or refining X, Y, and Z. It's just really fun.
It's very meta. Like you are.
Yeah. It really is.
You're listening to this right now as you're editing. And so
the other thing too is what people don't realize is good audio that you listen to is actually very unnatural. You don't want to listen to people's natural conversations. When you listen to some sort of professional audio, they remove that. The trick is to edit it in a pleasing way that doesn't sound edited.
Which is very difficult, actually. To make it sound not edited, you have to edit it a lot.
Yeah.
It's like design. Design, if you have a really well-designed app, it feels natural and doesn't look over-designed, you know? Like, it's something that takes a lot of time. It's like, I guess, a lot of art. A lot of art is that way, but...
Oh, that looks easy. I could have done that, but right. It takes a lot of work to make it look that easy.
Mark Twain said, I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead. It's kind of that same sort of idea.
100%. The easier something seems, probably the harder it was to do.
Exactly. This is kind of a fun story. There's there's an incident that happened early on in the history of React Native Radio where you and Robin had to re-record her entire portion of one of the early episodes. So I want to hear that story.
Well, I'll let Robin tell some of it, but just to start it off, Robin's audio had severe problems. We couldn't use it. We would have had to get everyone back together and guests back together and that kind of stuff to re-record it. So we decided to re-record her parts.
Yeah, this was really early on. I think this was the second episode that we ever did after we took over the podcast. For whatever reason, and I don't think we know to this day why this happened, but my audio file was corrupted, messed up somehow, so I kind of sounded like a robot. Mm-hmm. Even after Todd like fixed the file and did everything he could using software, it sounded horrible, but it was still intelligible. So what we had to do was we got in a Zoom call and Todd would literally play 5-10 second section of me, and then I would have to repeat the section with similar phrasing and tone of voice to recreate the recording. And it ended up working. I think that the final product was really good. And I got a chance to maybe rephrase some things that I didn't like the phrasing of the first time, but it was exhausting. And having to listen to yourself that many times.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be, I'm sure that took forever.
Quite a while. It was also really, really informative though. It was uncomfortable, but I learned a lot about what I sound like. So ultimately it was positive, but I don't ever want to do that again. So I got a really good mic after that.
In retrospect, like we probably should have just done the episode over again, but I guess the learning experience was worthwhile.
It was fun. It was actually fun working with Robin on that just one-on-one. We don't do that too often, so that was actually fun. We started getting into a rhythm to maximize efficiency. I would read something. The look on her face, I would know if I had to reread it. And at first it was very clumsy, but over time, like we were a well-oiled machine.
I had to hear it twice usually in order to like solidify in my brain what I needed to say. Because it's like reading from a script, but you don't have the script. You just have to hear the line and then repeat it.
You really start appreciating actors, voice actors, regular actors, how they can just turn it on and match something that doesn't seem artificial when it's all completely artificial. It's not easy at all.
I know a pastor who will record his whole sermon, and then when he gives his sermon live, he has it playing in his ear. I don't know how you would do that, but he plays it in his ear and he basically performs it doing that. That seems, I don't know, he's got something different in his brain than I do. I would just be completely lost.
See, this is why I'm not allowed at your church anymore, because I would have secretly replaced the audio with a Cheech and Chong movie.
So once Todd and Jed have the audio ready to go, then Jed takes over in his kind of more official capacity as the release coordinator. So as you mentioned, like we can blame you if it's late then, right?
I would love to interject. You can almost always blame me. I'm running late on the editing.
It is the most time consuming part of it.
And really, if it's taking you a long time, you can blame me and Jamin.
No, I'm taking full responsibility because it is a side thing I do. And every other job I do, I can usually multitask. But when you're editing audio, I can't multitask. I can't listen to stuff. I can't be in a meeting in Zoom. So I have to have those hours completely focused. And frankly, I just can't always get to it.
Yeah.
And that's a really important thing to touch on. Like, I know with the new thing that I've been doing with Todd, like the whole assistant to the editor role.
Assistant to the regional editor.
Assistant to the regional editor. Yes, yes. My legitimate title here at IR is I'm the project manager. So that's one thing that also touch on. There's all like the actual like day-to-day work that we're all doing on top of this as well. So
our real jobs.
Yeah, the real jobs that are happening here. Like what Todd mentioned with editing, of course, you have to have, you know, specific conditions to be able to do that stuff. And I've definitely ran into that as well with the stuff that I've been helping on the editing side with as well, where I'm going through and processing the audio initially. Generally, I'm doing it later at night so that, you know, I've got two awesome daughters, but they like to be loud. And of course, you can hear a lot of that and it affects the what you're able to do with listening to the audio. But as far as, to get back to what you said, Jamin, as far as what we do after the file is edited and the podcast is ready to go on to the next step, I'll do a couple things. So we've got our own Slack channel for the podcast. We'll start a thread in there, which is like, here's the most recent episode release thread. And so there's a couple different things that are happening at the same time. The first thing that we do is I send off the actual file off to our service that we use for transcription. That's going and getting transcribed. And then on the other side of things, I'm working with Justin to help him get what he needs to put together any sort of, well, he doesn't need me at all for the graphics, but if we're doing something like a waveform, you all can't see, but he's shaking his head. As far as the things that are happening, so we've got the files off in transcription. We're working on getting the different aspects of the content ready, the little extra things. So I'm going back through the episode, listening to it, scanning for like a waveform, anything that we can use when we release the episode. Also, I'm starting to build that initial episode draft in the platform that we use for releasing the podcast. We use Simplecast for the actual distribution of the podcast. So
just a little interjection about the transcription. That was something that was important to us when we acquired React Native Radio. We wanted to make sure that every episode had a transcript. And we felt that was important. It's helpful, obviously, for searching and whatnot, but it makes it more accessible to people who maybe, you know, obviously can't listen to it or don't have time to listen to it also. I mean, it's very helpful all the way around. And there's the waveform file. And Justin, the waveform, like to talk about what that is and how we use that.
So the waveform is a clip of the podcast. Generally, it runs somewhere in the realm of like 30 to 60 seconds. I make Jed choose the best moments of the podcast out. I'm not responsible for that. So he has to listen to it several times. And what we do is we put it into After Effects. It's a gross underutilization of After Effects, but we put it in there anyways. It creates a nice little waveform that people can share on Instagram, Twitter, wherever social media is at these days. But they put it out there, and it's a way for them to share it with their followers and stuff like that without having to listen to all of you talk for a full hour.
Throwing a waveform in After Effects is the equivalent of using the world's strongest man to open a peanut butter jar.
I brought this chainsaw to cut into this bread.
You've never seen better sliced bread.
Actually, I don't think that would be true.
Yeah, and Missy, you're also involved in some of that aspects, as well as like the actual social media part of it. So can you talk about how, once you get the assets from Justin and Jed, you know, whether it's the transcript, you know, the waveform, the graphics, etc.?
Yeah, so like Jed mentioned, we use a transcribing service, which is really helpful. But I still have to go through and make sure that they got everything right. Even sometimes they'll confuse who's talking. So one time we had Gant as a guest and they mixed up Jamin and Gant. So I just go through and make sure that all of that's right, that they get every word correct. And typically, to speed up the process, I'll listen to the recording in like 1.5 times speed. But there are some times where the person who transcribed it couldn't understand what was said. And it's hard for me to understand too. So in certain cases, I'll listen to it in like halftime speed over and over and over again. And I can usually get it then. I have a story about how doing this has helped me in my everyday life. I was playing a game of Scrabble and I used a word that I think Robin said. You guys have probably all used it, but I didn't know what it meant. It's a programmer's word. It's diff.
And diff.
Diff. Yeah, of course. And it was contested, but we looked it up and it did count. So I got those points. Yeah.
That nice. Is fantastic.
Yeah. That was a little story I had. I can thank you guys for that.
The little words that we like are in our lexicon as programmers that I forget are like not normal words.
I want to use lexicon next time in Scrabble. Put the X right on a triple letter score.
Yeah, you'd get a lot of points for that one. I don't think diff got me very many points, but that's okay. And then typically after that, we're ready to launch and I get the waveform or whatever graphic we have from Justin and I'll post that to Twitter We have a format that we follow that's actually kind of difficult to get in everything because I'll tag each of the hosts, the guests, and then fitting in the link to the episode is also kind of difficult with the character count. So that is my part in the social media and then interacting with our followers. I know Jamin does that as well. So
yeah, it's awesome. Representing React Native Radio out in the social media world, it's great. And you do a great job of it. Yeah. So I think that kind of follows it all the way through. Of course, you know, we also post it in various places, like putting it in our Slack, telling people, hey, you know, we have a new episode out, and we put it in our Infinite Red newsletter so people know what the latest episodes are. We put it in our Infinite Red community Slack. And by we, I mean Missy. Like, she's doing a great job of putting these out there. And then I promote it on my personal Twitter, and Gant on his, and some others as well. So.
And why is that, Jamin? Is that because you have more followers than anybody else?
Do you have more than Gant?
I do not have more than Gant. No, I do not.
You did for... I thought you guys were pretty equal for a while.
We were pretty equal, but Gant is just... He's a machine. It's just impossible to keep up with him. So, you know, my biggest thing is that I feel like I have more of a connection to my followers. That's a big thing. I actually think... Shut up, Justin.
It's a quality over quantity kind of thing.
It's a quality over quantity thing. Yes, totally.
One thing I forgot to mention that we didn't go over at the beginning of the editing process, we do the intro, which is, you hear me at the beginning of every podcast. I have a little different voice because I do a radio announcer. This is React Native Radio Podcast. And then I do the little silly brought to you by, which I don't know why that occurred to me. The first time I did it, I said brought to you by like the number 12, like in Sesame Street. And then that actually takes me a while to think of this.
How Todd knows that we listen to the episode.
Yes.
If I comment to him on how cool his brought to you by segment was, he knows I listened to it.
Or if it's controversial or something, Jamin may pipe up.
I don't think I've done that yet.
No.
Challenge.
No,
I would, though.
Even the COVID joke I made a few episodes where I'm
the 5G.
Yeah. Brought to you by 5G. Get yours injected today.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Well, but you know, it's a little.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's on the line.
But anyways, so we do that. I do that at the beginning of my edit.
Let's talk about the branding actually for a bit here. So Justin, we actually get a lot of compliments on our branding for React Native Radio. What was the process like? Because we did a whole rebranding exercise once we acquired React Native Radio. So, I mean, what was that like, and how did it all come together?
Well, first of all, I have to start and kind of preface this all by giving a lot of credit to Jenna. She's been on the design team for a few years now, and we work really closely together.
Jenna Fucci, yeah.
Yeah, she put a lot of the branding assets and stuff together that you see, the visual stuff as far as the branding and the podcast episode and all that. We actually, when we acquired React Native Radio, one thing we did is we approached it like a real project. We didn't just open up Photoshop or Sketch and then put in a cover. We went into the podcast store. We looked at the different podcasts that were in the top. What do they call it? It's not a podcast store.
Directory?
Sure.
Podcast app?
Podcast app.
Are you talking about Tower Records?
So the first thing we did is we actually opened up all of the top podcasts. We looked at what was trending, what kind of visuals they were using, and what kind of things seemed to really connect with audiences. And what's funny is we noticed a few trends that every podcast has about one of three directions when they make a cover. First one, they open PowerPoint, they typed in Synergy and Clipart, and then just dropped whatever was on there into their podcast, called that branding.
Fact.
And the second one is that they would try to compete with the indie band and their cover art. They would just come up with something obscure, try to put it on there. It looks all crafty. It's cool. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense in the terms of what podcast it is. And then the third one, which is really popular, I know everybody's kind of seen this, is it's the host who take a photo, but they don't really, they look serious, but they try to pretend like they don't know somebody's taking a photo of them. They're like, looking off into the distance and, oh, there's a camera there. And so when we looked at the three different versions of them, we wanted it to be very noticeable. So if a developer were to open up podcasts and scroll through, they would instantly connect with the React Native logo. That's something we actually do in a lot of our branding, whether it's the conference or whatnot. And Jenna actually came up with this really cool idea, is what happens if we bring the React Native logo and then try to put in some sound waves into it, trying to give it that old podcasty feel. If you think back to like the early days of podcasting where everything had either headphones or a radio wave on it, we tried to kind of marry the two of those together into an updated graphic. Yeah.
Did you just say the early days of podcasting as if it was...
Yeah, back when I was about 10, 11 years old and you were about 30.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Ouch. Todd?
And I can fire Justin, but he knows I won't. That's true. I'm getting a little tired and it's time for a nap.
It's funny because it's true.
It's true.
Oh, man. Yeah, and we get all kinds of compliments about it. It's fantastic. I was so blown away when I saw the new branding. It really, really, it made such a difference. But like, I'm very interested to know kind of how that came about.
We, with everything we do with design, we kind of think about the context that it's going to be viewed in and how people might be scrolling. For instance, in this example, we were kind of looking at what some of the top podcasts were, especially in tech, because we were thinking developers are already there. They're looking around the store. They're looking for something new to listen to. How can we kind of instantly connect with them? I think everybody at this point, especially if you're listening to this podcast, knows the React Native logo, right? And so what we did is we took that. It's kind of almost front and center on our podcast cover art. They're scrolling through. There's a lot of different things that don't make a whole lot of sense in the terms of the covers and everything. And then you see React Native, and we want it to stand out. So it's in kind of a dark theme. It's impactful as you're scrolling through. And that's kind of how we came up with it. And then we wanted also to have kind of a techie vibe in just our overall branding. So anytime you interact with us on Twitter, on Instagram, we have these like little accents and stuff like that to kind of connect. Oh, this is techie. This is React Native. Hopefully developers are connecting with that. That was our intention with it. And so far we've been getting a lot of compliments on it. And, you know, obviously 100% shout out to Jenna for a lot of that. She's done most of that work and it's turned out great for us.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm really proud of, really everything that you all have done to make this a success. It's been so amazing. We continue to grow the audience. People are interested in what we have to say, and we're very grateful, of course, to our loyal listeners and people that promote us around.
Very much so.
Around the interwebs. And thank you very much for joining us today. We're a little long on this episode, so I'll go ahead and wrap up. Now, we have some other cool things in store as well, so stay tuned. If you're interested in knowing when stuff comes out, you can sign up for a newsletter at newsletter.infinite.red. So, as always, but for the first time in person, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth.
You're welcome.
Our transcript and release coordinator, Jed Bartoski.
Most definitely.
social media coordinator, Missy Warren.
Thanks for having me.
And our graphics, and I got to make up a title on the fly for some reason for you, Justin. Graphics and waveform producer,
Mastermind. Justin Musky. There we go.
The
Mastermind.
Design ninja.
yes.
Thanks, Robin, for joining me and doing this, hosting this episode. Special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe on all the major podcasting platforms. We are React Native Radio. We'll see you all next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I feel like we should do some controversial, like Basecamp, to get this to go viral. So we should say something like, we've just recently told our employees that they're not allowed to breathe loudly during meetings because it irritates the CEO.
But the CEO is allowed to eat chips.
During a podcast recording.
They were crackers. Just to be clear.